We need to hear God's voice. You don't need to hear my voice, even though He can use me. We need to hear God grip our hearts with truth. We've had truth most of our lives, but does truth have us? Does it grip us and motivate us, direct us and focus our energy, our efforts, our investments? That's what we need today. I can't do that, even for me, but He can. So would you just lay your hands on your own self and just say, Holy Spirit, give me ears to hear. Give me eyes to see. Give me a heart that'll respond. Lord, I want to be all You intended when You sung over me in my mother's womb. I want to fulfill that. Help me, Jesus. I know You will. Amen. Group of friends went deer hunting and paired off in twos for the day. And right about nightfall, a guy comes stumbling back into camp with an 8-point deer, pulling it behind him. And the guy asks him, "Where's Harry?" He says, "Harry had a stroke or something back up the trail. He's a couple of miles back up there somewhere." And he said, "You left Harry and brought the deer?" And he said, "Well, I didn't think anybody was going to steal Harry." Now, that's only funny because you've known a deer hunter that was passionate about what they do. But our world is filled with Harrys that's gone on a hunt for happiness. And somehow they've been left or lost on the trail. And without someone that'll go back up the trail and take hold of them, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. As followers of Jesus, His mission is our mission. Okay? His mission, if I'm going to be a faithful follower of Jesus, His mission becomes my mission. Okay? I don't have anything fancy or new to tell you today. I just pray that the truth grips us. Mark gives us a glimpse of a little bit of what it means to get a fresh start. That's what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. And today, fresh start by following Jesus faithfully. And we're talking today about following Jesus' mission. And He gives us a little glimpse into what that might could look like in my life and your life. So let's read together. And again, He entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that He was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And He preached the word to them. Then they came to Him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near Him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where He was. So when they had broken through, they let the bed down on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, the 4 guys, He said to the paralytic, "Not get up, you're healed." He said, "Your sins are forgiven you." Now you've heard this story. If you've been in church very long, you've heard this story. And so like I said, I don't hope to tell you any grand revelation God gave me about this passage. But what I do want to do is apply it to you and me as we embrace the mission of our Master, the one that we follow. Because in a nutshell, our mission, that is His mission, is to bring somebody closer to Him. It's that simple. Let's just retell this story. You got Jesus that's already healed enough people that He is an instant magnet to the masses. And He shows up in a house And the word gets out really quick. I don't know how word got out that quick. They didn't have telephones. They didn't have telegraph. They didn't have television. They didn't have printing presses. They didn't have buses, cars. But they didn't have bicycles. But the word got out quickly. And soon the house was packed and probably people outside. And in that culture, most your average house was a little adobe-like thing with beams across the top, and they usually had a little sitting area on top of the house, had a little wall around it, kind of like a rooftop patio, and a set of stairs up the side. Well, the house is packed, can't get in there, and here come four men carrying their paralytic friend, and they didn't take no for an answer. They didn't take the easy way out. They went up on the roof, and they began to demolish. Now the roof was a structure of sticks and mud and probably clay tiles or whatever, and so they were started deconstructing this guy's roof, whoever this guy was. I'd love to meet this guy in heaven who owned that house. As debris starts raining down right in front of Jesus as he's teaching and all of this. And so they start ripping the roof off. I mean, you can imagine how hard it would be for you to keep your concentration if we started hearing, big saws and stuff creaking and cracking and stuff starts falling out of the ceiling. We'd get pretty shook up. Well, that's what was going on. Wasn't a building this big, it was small. But these four men were determined to get their friend closer to Jesus. I could probably stop preaching right now and just say, the way we embrace Jesus' mission is to determine we will get someone closer to Jesus. That simple. But you know, I'm not going to leave it there. Why? Because according to one church growth expert, Tom Rainer, I think he's with the Southern Baptist Convention, according to statistics that he has, there's only one person brought to Christ in this nation, I guess per year, I didn't see the time frame, for every 85 church members. Now look, Let's just set the ground rules here. I am not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody this morning. All I want to do is motivate you and me to embrace the mission of the one that we follow. That's all I want to do. That's all I want to do. I just want to motivate you and help you believe today that you can get someone closer to Jesus. You can. Look at your neighbor and say, you can. Go ahead. Just tell them, you can. Tell them. Tell somebody, you can. Now, hopefully everybody's near somebody and they told you that too. Because it goes for you. If somebody didn't tell you that, I'm telling you, you can. Amen. You can do something to get someone closer to Jesus. What did these guys do? They picked a mat up. They tore a roof up. They let him down. They dared believe that God could change the man's life. And he did. And I want you to notice, they got him closer to Jesus, and it was not just about his physical ailment, it was also about his spiritual ailment. And Jesus saw his total needs. And those four men were instrumental in, you might say, getting an unbeliever to salvation and getting a sick paralytic to healing. And I'm telling you that everybody sitting in this room and everybody watching online, you can help someone come to Jesus. With your skill set, with your realm of influence, with your network, with your talents or lack of talents, you can help someone get near Jesus. Here's a question for you. Do I really believe Jesus is the answer? I was reading Matthew this morning, by the way. I'm still reading a chapter of Matthew every day and posting a few thoughts on Facebook. If you hadn't been seeing it, I'm trying to pin it to the top on the public page, Lake City Assembly of God public page. It's not because what I see is the best of what everybody sees. It's just I want you to know I'm discussing each chapter of Matthew with you if you'll get in the discussion. What I saw this morning was Jesus giving the wisest, most powerful, most appropriate answers to the hardest questions and the solutions to the most thorny problems. I saw Jesus just like that, man. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? Hey, give me a coin. Just shut them down, because they were trying to trap him. Well, if a man marries a woman and he dies and is on and on until the seventh man, and Jesus says, you don't know the scriptures, you don't know the power of God. And he just lays it out. And it says they dared not ask him any more questions because he had them. He is the wisest being ever, anywhere. Do I believe that the Harrys that have been left up on the trail of life, chasing happiness, do I really believe Jesus is their answer? All I got to do is help grab their mat and move them one step closer to Jesus. Can I do that? My answer is yes. For everybody sitting here and everybody watching online, the answer is an unequivocal, absolute yes, I can. You say, but I'm not all that great a follower. Still, it's yes, you can. I'm not all that understanding. I don't know the Bible that well. Yes, you can. I hardly ever get out of my house. Yes, you can. I don't like talking on the phone. I don't understand Facebook. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I don't know what time I started preaching, but I ain't through. Jesus' plan is for his church to shake the world, and it involves every one of us. A Jesus follower lives with Jesus' mission at the center of their motivation. Let's read what we call the Great Commission. It's his mandate for all believers. You know, Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore. And some translations say, going, as you go, make disciples. And that's an important nuance because he's not really necessarily saying, chase Nate down in Peru today. He's saying, as you go about your daily routines, make disciples. Bring people closer to Jesus. Now, sometimes he does say go to Peru. And by the way, Nate did land safely. And he's on his way to the outpost. I say outpost, it's a town of about 50,000 people, but it's the last place before you have to take a boat to get up in the Amazon basin. But that's where they're headed. They'll be in quarantine for 14 days. But it's not just about people going to Peru. It's about all of us as we go about our lives realizing my hand fits somebody's mat. My hand fits many somebody's mats, and many of your hands may fit the same mat. It took four guys to get him to Jesus. It may take 44 to get some people to Jesus because we all have a little part to play. And God knows, He knows who needs to cross somebody's path to show them and say something to them that person is uniquely suited to say or do in that person's life that will edge them one step closer to the cross. Following Christ means responding to this great commission. Let me just say it the way I said it last week about what I preached last week. You cannot and you are not a true, faithful follower of Christ if you don't take his mission seriously. Period. I got five things that I think should mold our response to this great commission. Here you go. Let's do them. It's about purpose, not preference. It's about purpose. The Great Commission is part of our purpose. It's part of our purpose. It is not just another add-on to our otherwise busy schedule. It's part of the reason we were born. I don't care if you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, don't care if you're a mechanic or you're a school teacher or a nurse, whatever it is, if you're a believer in Christ, the Great Commission is part of your purpose for living. It's part of your purpose. As I said, it doesn't mean you pack up and go to Peru. But it does mean I'm looking for a mat. I'm looking for a mat that I can help carry and get somebody a little closer. It may just be through prayers. It may be through a kind word. It may be through encouragement. It may be through an out-and-out witness. It may be, you know, by serving them in a place they really need it. I don't know. It may be different for all the different people you encounter. It's about purpose. I want to tell you a story about Tom, and I want to tell you a story about Tim. Tom and Tim. Tom is a world-class, accomplished athlete. And most of you know who Tom is. Tom Brady. Tom Brady was interviewed on 60 Minutes in 2005. Now, we're talking about almost 16 years ago now. By the way, he's playing for a championship today. Here's what Tom said in that interview. I just want you to hear it, because this is all about purpose. He says, why do I have three Super Bowl rings? He has more than that now, but why do I have three Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I reached my goal, my dream, my life, me. I think it's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. And the interviewer said, what's the answer? He said, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. This guy's filthy rich, famous, and will be conducted into the NFL Football Hall of Fame as soon as he retires. And probably has five or six Super Bowl rings now. I don't know. I don't keep up with him. Married a world-class model. According to many people, he has it made. But the problem is, he's not sure evidently what his purpose is. Let's talk about Tim. Tim Stackpole. Tim Stackpole was a New York City fireman who was severely burned in 1998, but he recovered and he went back to the force, and despite the advice by his friends and family, he could have retired and been fine. But he was a passionate firefighter, so he was soon promoted to captain and continued fighting fires. Then on September 11th, he ran into the second tower to try to save people, and it collapsed on him and took his life. Here's a man who knew purpose. Here's a man who understood he was created to help people. And there was, you know, of course, I don't have an interview at 60 Minutes with him, because he was just another firefighter until he died on September 11th. But what we understand from his story is that he lived with a purpose. You say, but that's not the Christian purpose. It's still the same point. He lived with a purpose. Following Christ means embracing his purpose for our lives, regardless of what we do for a living. We're all to be attempting to make disciples of Christ, which means getting people a little closer to Jesus. Every one of us were born with a grip that fits somebody's mat. Everybody here, everybody hold your right hand up, just like this. Hold it up, spread it out. That hand was given you to fit somebody's mat. It was given to you to fit somebody, a lot of somebody's. You can put it down. It was given you to fit somebody's mat to get them a step closer to Jesus. Regardless of what you do for a living. That's central to the reason we were born, and we will never experience all of Christ that He wants for us to experience until we accept that responsibility and that privilege to look for the mat. One person after another. Paul put this thought kind of this way in Philippians. He was in jail when he wrote this. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Jesus gripped my life so that I could grip someone's mat and move them closer. So it's about purpose, not a preference. It's about loving obedience, not skill. Loving obedience. Going. As you go, make disciples. It's a command, by the way. It's not the great suggestion. It's the great commission. It's not a suggestion. Say, but I feel so inadequate and I don't have this and I don't have that. Keep at it. Keep looking for mats. We cannot faithfully follow Christ, picking and choosing how or when we'll obey Him. This is more about relationship than it is skill, folks. Let me say this, and I'm going to come back and end my message with this same thought. It's about a willingness to get involved in people's lives. That's what this is about. It's simply a willingness to invest in people. Whether it's helping someone in this church learn how to read Scripture or learn how to pray, or it's encouraging someone you see here, that's getting them a step closer to Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? So we got two hands. One hand, hopefully, to help somebody that's not a believer, not a churchgoer, none of that, help them get closer to Jesus. Another hand, we've got to encourage believers to become more like Christ and begin carrying somebody's mat. Two hands. It's about loving obedience, not skill. It's about relationship, not skill. And then it's about the Spirit's power and not mere human effort. I can serve someone in Jesus' name. I can pray for them. I can tell them the truth of the gospel. I can't save them. I can't convert them. I can't convict them of sin. I can't do any of that. But here's the deal. The Spirit will empower my obedience. You never know what the Spirit of God will do just because you dare speak a kind word to somebody at Walmart. You never know what the Spirit can do and the arrangements He can make so that you encounter somebody's life at the right moment with the right word and the right atmosphere so that their life is impacted forever. Many times the missing element is the obedience, but understand, as we set our heart to obey and embrace our Master's mission, He will empower us for it to do something more than just be a duty. This is about more than duty. This is about love. That's why I said loving obedience. As we go, He empowers. Here's what it says in Acts. As Jesus was about to ascend back to heaven, one of the last things He said to His disciples, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, which, by the way, is the reason Johnny Jernigan wants us to meet on Friday night and have a Holy Ghost night, is because we're going out the next day and we need power. The Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be witnesses to me. See, the primary impact of the Spirit coming on them was that they would be empowered to faithfully represent Jesus and tell what He's done in their lives. Because that's a witness. It's just saying, here's who I was, here's what He did, here's what I am now, and hallelujah, and we sang about it. There's a new name, right? Amen. And it's mine. I got a story to tell. I've got a story to tell. And you've got a story to tell. All right. I want the worship team to go ahead and come back to the platform. Here's what I challenge you to do this week. I challenge you to pray for divine appointments. Pray for God to set you up to end up near somebody so that you can get a grip on their mat. Set me up, Jesus. I'm going to work today, Lord. I see the same people every day, but set me up, Jesus. Set me up. Give me a chance to say something, to do something, to pray something, to be somewhere, to help somebody. Set me up, because there's so many been left on the trail like Harry. Set me up to pick him up and bring him to you. Set me up. Because if we're really going to embrace his mission, that's the kind of prayer we need to be praying. Give me an opportunity. I'm not talking about jumping up on top of the table in the break room at work and start swinging your Bible in the air. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am saying, get up in the morning and say, show me somebody's mat that needs to be carried. Show me somebody. Bring me somewhere. Let me encounter someone, somehow. And give me the courage to step out and serve and say and pray. Only way America's going to change, folks, is for us to reach Americans. And we're his hands and feet. It's about specific, real people. Not just the world. We can't reach the world. You know what we can reach? We can reach one person at a time. We can reach people with faces, with DNA, with fingerprints, with retinal patterns. We can reach real people. It starts small. Nobody has to save Africa today. Thank God. One person at a time. Here's what Helen Keller said. Everybody knows Helen Keller. I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish small tasks as if they were great and noble. Just pray that God show you one small task. One person at a time. One day at a time. One moment at a time. One opportunity at a time. Small things. God, show me something to do today. Because there's a lot of Harrys dying. Dying. Long before they ever die. On the trail of chasing happiness. Ann Sullivan taught Helen Keller how to read, how to talk. I don't know what else Ann Sullivan ever did. You never see that in history books. But boy, we know what Helen Keller did. She became a champion for all kinds of causes around the world. This blind, deaf, dumb woman who one loving follower of Jesus taught her how to talk and how to read Braille. She invested in Helen Keller day after day after day after day and didn't give up on her when everybody else gave up. She took a hold of Helen Keller's mat and didn't let go until Helen Keller got to Jesus and got to impact and holding many other people's mats. I just want to ask you, whose mat are you carrying? Whose mat are you carrying? I told you, we all, I believe, have two responsibilities. That's to encourage other believers to get closer to Jesus and to reach out to those who've been left on the trail and they don't They don't have a relationship with Jesus. I believe we all have the responsibility to be continually looking for mats we can help carry. Because as I said earlier, it may take more than four people to get somebody to Jesus. It may take 44. It may take 104. Here's the thing. Jesus loves that person so much, if it takes 104, He'll send them. Just be ready to go when He sends you. I'll tell you one more story, and we're going to worship and we're going to pray. I know Pastor Seth has used this illustration before, but I'm going to share it with you briefly one more time. During World War II, there was a young believer in Christ that was a conscientious objector. He was a pacifist. He would not bear arms. And yet he wanted to serve his nation, and so he convinced the army to allow him to be a medic and not carry a gun, and he would go to war under that circumstance. His name was Desmond Doss, and he ended up in the famous Battle of Okinawa, where thousands of our people were wounded and killed. This is made well known by a movie called, I think it's Hacksaw Ridge. It's a very gory movie. But he became famous as he went back into withering fire from the enemy. He became famous because he continued going back up the ridge and getting another and another and another and another. And when they told him he needed to stop, even as he was wounded, he said, "I can get one more. I just want to get one more. I just want to get one more." And after 50, he kept going back, risking his own life. And the army says he saved as many as 100 men's lives, one at a time, saying, "I got to get one more. I got to get one more. I got to get one more Harry that's been left to die." They're everywhere, folks. You rub shoulders with them every time you go to the store. You say, "We're in Alabama, everybody's a Christian." No, that's not true. My last point is this, is it's costly. It's not convenient. It's costly. Even if it's only the cost of simply getting involved. Just getting involved. Time. Just getting involved. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to bow your heads. And I want you to ask the Lord, "Lord, give me the name of one person who's mad I can help carry. Someone who is maybe not a believer, a follower of Christ, not a churchgoer. One person that I can pray for every day this week." I'm just going to say this week. Somebody that you'll pray for every day this week that God will show you a way to help carry their mat. Help get them a little closer. One person. Someone that, as far as you can see, they are not a follower of Christ, not a believer. Maybe they are lost and on their way to hell. Somebody you work with, somebody you live next to, somebody that's just an old acquaintance. Maybe it's the clerk at the place you get your gas at. Just one person. Now I'm going to stop talking for a moment. And I'm going to pray that God show me somebody. You pray that God will show you somebody. And let's just sit still just for a second and listen. Holy Spirit, remind us. Bring a face to our mind. A person. How many of you, just keep your heads bowed, but a person came to your mind? Raise your hand. Just raise your hand. And if it didn't, that's fine, but okay. All right. Many of you. I'm going to ask you to pray one more prayer with me, and it's this. Show me someone that could use my encouragement this week that is, I believe, is a believer and a follower of Jesus. Show me somebody that could use a word of encouragement or a prayer this week. Lord, do that for me. Do that for me. It may be somebody in this church. It may be somebody in your family. It may be somebody that you're just Facebook friends with, but Lord, I'm willing to give a word of encouragement this week. For some of you, a name has been popping in your mind maybe all week long, and you just never picked the phone up, or you never sent a text, or you didn't stop by. Now you know why. How many of you, a name came to your mind, a face came to your mind, somebody, a believer that you can encourage this week? Anybody raise your hand? Raise your hand. You see several of you. Good. Here's what I want you to do is the musicians start playing again. They're going to lead us in a worship song here in a moment. I want you to get an offering envelope. There should be one in the back of just most every seat. If you're sitting on the front row, reach behind you. I want you to write the name of the person, that person that may be not a follower of Christ, someone that came to your mind, the one you're going to commit to praying for every day this week and praying for an opportunity to show Jesus, share Jesus, serve them, do something to take hold of their mat. I want you to write it down. We'll give you a second, write it down, then we're going to hold it up and pray over it. And then I want you, just a few at a time, come up and throw it on this cot right here, because you're going to remember that name. But we're going to be praying over all these people this week, and you don't have to put your name on this, just the name of the person. I just want you to throw them on the mat here just as an act of faith. God's going to use me to help carry this person one step closer to Jesus. He's going to use me this week. He's going to use my prayers. He's going to give me an opportunity. He's going to give me a chance to touch their lives. Because I'm a follower of Christ. And I'm going to embrace His mission. And it's got to get real practical. It's got to get real practical. And this is as practical as I know how to make it. I'm going to ask them to go ahead and sing. If you've written a name down, would you just raise it up to heaven? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you for divine opportunities this week. We ask you for divine opportunities this week. We ask you to remind us to pray for this person every day. We ask you to give us boldness, compassion, courage to approach this person in the way you show us to do. We are willing to see. Lord, give us divine appointments. Give us faith that you will use us to help this person off the trail of brokenness or confusion or darkness or just lostness and lack of purpose. Father, help us. Help us. Help us. Now, Lord, we also ask you to give us that word of encouragement that other person's going to need from us. Prepare us to encourage. Prepare us to encourage one another in the faith this week with that other person in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, this is your work, and we are your partners. And we say yes to the great commission, the great command, the great privilege of representing you and helping people closer to you because they need you, just like we need you. In Jesus' name.
We hope that you enjoyed this week's message. If you responded to today's message, or if you would like for us to join with you in prayer for a specific need, please fill out our response card in the comments below. And if you would like to worship through giving today, visit our website, lakecityag.org, and hit the Give tab. For more inspirational messages from the last several months, visit our YouTube channel, Lake City Gville. Have a great week!